Yes, Tanya. Collaborative landscape management at the University of Arizona Campus Arboretum. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So I'm really happy to be here. I'm glad a few people wandered in. We're going to switch gears just a little bit. I won't be presenting research. I am specifically interested today. I have two objectives. One is a secret objective, selfish and objective, which is to present to you a challenge that I faced and some solutions that worked for me, in hopes that my second objective will be that you learn something from that. There's a paradigm here, I think, in science that we often are in less than ideal situations, and it's important to identify solutions. So I've titled my talk Collaborative Landscape Management at the University of Arizona Campus Arboretum. So my responsibility at the University of Arizona is 80% instruction in the School of Plant Science, and then I have a 20% extension. That's 2-0, very small extension appointment, with the responsibility of directing the university's campus arboretum, which is integrated into the main campus. So as you could imagine, having a functioning campus arboretum integrated into a university setting requires significant collaborations. So I want to first start by giving you a little bit of background about how the university came to be campus arboretum designation. This is a photo of the university in 1903. It was only comprised of this one building, which was called University Hall. We now call it Old Main. And you can see at the on the west side of this building that we're looking at, there was already 12 years into the university's history a significant effort to collect native plant species. So all of the faculty in the early years would have been from the Northeast and probably wanted to bring native things from the Northeast to kind of make the campus feel familiar. There was one anomaly in that a faculty named James Toomey recognized that there was an opportunity to use the campus landscape itself as an educational resource, as an opportunity to convey to the community an appreciation for the environment that they were living in. So he undertook to collect these native cactus and succulents. And when he left the university in 1901, just 10 years in, he went and founded the School of Forestry at Yale University. But after just 10 years, you can see that he had more than 600 taxa collected here. So this was a kind of the first inkling that the landscape itself could serve as a public garden. You can see a later picture. This is 2016. The campus has been transformed because of faculty like that who were interested in bringing in plant species with the idea that the campus could serve as an educational and also as a research resource. So the campus trees are quite literally rooted in our history, that they're a product of the land grant mission. So the land grant mission, by my definition, is the expectation that our research is relevant, that we're constantly looking for problems in the state and creating research programs that solve those problems. And furthermore, the land grant mission requires that our outreach function, that our educational programs are extended out to benefit the community. So I'll name just a couple of faculty as examples of how faculty at the University of Arizona were committed to fulfilling this land grant mission. So one of the faculty members that's shown here is Robert Forbes. He's one of many, but really probably the most significant contributor in the early years of the university to traveling around the world, finding potential agricultural commodities. So in 1891, when the university started, it was still a territory, so it was important to establish economic stability, and agriculture, of course, was one of those options. So he undertook significant research looking at cultivars of citrus and dates and palms and cotton, which eventually established an economic base. And his MO was to bring those plants back to the campus itself and use the campus landscape as a research experiment station. So as a result of that process, our campus itself became a very rich botanical resource. So those that were deemed successful varieties were then introduced out into the trade, and those that were not, we still have these really cool things on campus that are now very old. Later in the university's history, again, later in Arizona's history, in the mid-20th century, there was significant urbanization and population growth in the Southwest. And so in keeping with our commitment to the land-grant mission, our research focus shifted away from agricultural commodities and moved more towards exploring landscape ornamentals that would be able to populate our growing cities without breaking the bank, without consuming all the natural resources, given the limited water especially available. So Warren Jones was, I consider him our very own Johnny Appleseed. When I assumed my position in 2010, there was roughly 478 taxa represented on campus, and of those, this was 30 years after Warren Jones left the university, of those there was about two-thirds that were brought by Warren Jones to the campus, so a significant percentage of our diversity on campus was brought by Warren Jones. So we currently have about 12,000 species listed in our inventory, representing about 800 taxa, and they are representative of six continents. So it's a really significant botanical collection. As a result of this, I mean, I'm from eastern Canada, and when I moved to Tucson, I kind of expected, you know, some scrubby creosote and some, you know, desert-looking landscapes, but I was really surprised to realize that not only do we have trees, but trees from all over the world that are now more than 100 years old, a lot of mature trees. So I can really appreciate how the community is drawn to this as a botanical resource, but also as a public garden. So there was some interest in the late 90s in ensuring that the campus continues to serve in this capacity, that we're continuing this legacy of testing and trying new things and also using the landscape as a resource. So Libby Davison was a faculty in the School of Plant Science who kind of led the charge and was eventually successful in establishing the main campus as a public garden. We're kind of known, the catchphrase is that we're the longest continually maintained public green space in the state of Arizona, so it's a historic district. The mission of the Campus Arboretum is, again, to continue serving as a living laboratory, promoting stewardship and conservation of urban trees, and to this end, the Campus Arboretum in my leader under my leadership has expanded a lot of our student engagement. We have a botanical signage, interpretive opportunities. We have maintained a designation as a Tree Campus USA for 9 years now. And we have invested in research, education, and outreach. The challenge, of course, is that the Arboretum program, this educational resource, research resources are only as good as the quality of the trees that we have. So the opportunity, as I stated, is to re-envision the landscape as a model of best practices so that any faculty, staff, student, or visitor that comes on campus should be able to see very quickly what we've learned from 120 more years of research in desert horticulture, so that we can serve as a model for not only our region, but places throughout the world that are increasingly urban and increasingly subject to climate instability. So the challenge then is significant in looking at how we can coordinate landscape management across campus, given some particular structural constraints of the role. So just to give you a little bit of insight about some of these coordination challenges, I'll give you the history. So historically, up until last year, the grounds management and facilities had primary responsibility for planting and maintaining the trees. So their method of recording maintenance data was paper and pencil relay. So the grounds manager might jot down a few notes. It may or may not go anywhere. I think it went into a computer system, maybe an Excel spreadsheet. I don't know. Maybe it's just filed in some remote storage building. So that was a challenge for me in that oftentimes things were planted or removed and the Arboretum records didn't reflect that. So despite the fact that the Campus Arboretum had a very robust internal database with a life history of and a map of all of the trees, we were missing a lot of important accession detail, where the plants came from, when they were planted, and so forth. Furthermore, there was no maintenance data correlated with those life histories. And this was a challenge because some of the data from our database is populated into a public-facing map, an interactive map that the public uses as an educational resource. So the challenge was that there was a lot of inaccuracies in this public-facing resource. So again, the important lesson here for all of us, whether or not this is your situation or not, is that there's usually an opportunity in the challenge. So just to highlight the situation that I was in, I want to give you a sample org chart of the University of Arizona. So it starts with the president. And then on one, and if I could make these any further apart, I would. On one extreme, we have business affairs, and on the other side of campus, we have the academic affairs, so kind of business and academic sides of the university, which, as you know, we speak different languages, very different culture. So on the business affairs side, there was facilities management, which has primary responsibility, funding, and personnel to maintain the campus. And then we also have campus planning, design, and construction, which has the responsibility of planning and building the campus. So on this side, I put the dollar sign there for the facilities because they have the money. They have the primary responsibility for building and maintaining campus. So facilities has a great resource that was relevant to me, which was the ground services. And campus planning I identified as being particularly progressive and interested in spatial mapping. So they have a GIS team, a geographic information systems data team. Then on the other side, there was me reporting down through a very filtered chain, going through the college dean's priorities, the school director's priorities, and then I put a dotted line to me. So just to highlight the fact that sometimes my ideas didn't go anywhere, despite the fact that there was this really great investment in the database and also in the map, there was really a question about how to move forward, how to connect these educational programs to what we're actually representing to the public. So I initially took the role of landscape police, where I was exhausting myself walking around campus, finding problems and reporting them, and I didn't have time for my primary responsibilities. So that was not going to work. Then I identified that at the college level there was a connection, in that the IT director in my college had a background in GIS, and he was actually doing a side project with the campus in order to develop their GIS data team. So this created what I felt was an opportunity to connect these very disparate parts of campus and to support the improvements in the campus arboretum function. So initially, I was able to obtain a grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences to invest in landscape asset management software, out-of-the-box program. What we found was that it was going to be too costly. And using a lot of the in-house resources that have already been developed, we leveraged that to create a custom solution that was not only more affordable, but improved the buy-in from the client, which in this case was facilities management. The grounds team was reluctant to adopt and to allow data sharing. So leveraging what they had already invested, we were able to create a customized solution to support them in recording and maintaining their landscape maintenance data in a database that now talks to the Campus Arboretum database. So I want to share a few of the functions that this database and mobile app provide. We're able to add, move, and delete trees. We're able to select trees and create service requests. So this was important in that the ground services already has a service request system, so now we can tie into it, meaning when I see a problem, I can pull up my iPad and tell them about it. And also, in order to improve their efficiency, it ties into their reporting system. Another function is that the service list can now be visualized in order to ascertain priorities of service requests. It allows anyone, starting from the first person to touch the plant to the last person to do the maintenance on it, to be able to edit accession detail, which means we can have a series, like a time course of photos showing how plants change over time in response to treatments, in response to construction. It allows us to identify source information, where the plant came from, how big it was. So we can track over time whether there is any correlation in how the plants do over time. Importantly, it's also allowing us to record every detail of maintenance that's required. From my point of view, too, the Campus Arboretum also has many trees that have significant status. So the system will actually prevent the grounds from creating any service requests on trees that have been designated as special status before contacting me. So what effectively we've accomplished now is a very coordinated process wherein the grounds app has detailed accession data that's entered by a variety of different people responsible. Those records are centralized along with the service request associated with them. And the Campus Arboretum has benefited in that our database is now updated with accession detail, and the forward-facing, the public-facing map is accurate. So I feel like this is really a huge improvement in efficiency and creating an efficient, coordinated, and streamlined process that's been able to provide us with the means of generating, assigning, and accounting for service requests. It's eliminated this paper documentation, and now we have a great electronic centralized data set that allows the grounds to integrate their tracking of personnel and reporting, improving their scheduling, and it's also optimized how we allocate resources. The ultimate goal, of course, is to enhance the health of the collection in order to ensure that the grounds serves its educational mission of informing the community about appropriate urban horticulture practices. And I'm out of time.
You are.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions at the end. Thank you.